Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, family. My name is Chris. I'm your host today. I'm glad everyone is able to join in and listen to this hopefully informational session as I discuss Trace and Raleigh Darden. Raleigh Darden, before I get into that, let me go over some information that I have. I recently, today, matter of fact, attended the Triangle Chapter of OGS, the African American Historical and Genealogical Society. We meet in Raleigh the first Saturday of each month, and we go a lot of great, have a lot of great members, and have a lot of great things that we go over in relations to history, particular African American history and genealogy. So, if anyone interested in becoming a member, I think I posted the link on my Facebook and definitely on the family pages a couple of times, but you can get in contact with me if you need any more information concerning that. We also are going to be having our 38th annual National Genealogical Conference, and this time it's going to be a Bahamas Caribbean cruise, 6 days and five nights. We're making plans for that. The dates is going to be October the 19th through the 21st, 2017. So I'll pass more information out on that as time goes along. But we're already making plans, so if anyone's interested in that, I will be passing out and submitting more information online and via other avenues to let family members know of that. Also, if you're interested in history, the International Black Genealogy Summit, or History Reflections, What Does the Story Mean to Me, will be in Washington, D.C., September the 1st through the 3rd, 2016. I'll also be posting, I haven't posted that link, but I will be posting that link also for anyone that's in the D.C. area and interested in history, African-American history. This looks like this will be a great event. I will also post this. If you've been on the family website or even on my Facebook, on the family Facebook page or my Facebook page, you notice I've been posting quite a bit on a documentary, Wilmington on Fire. I had the opportunity to see that, I believe, this past Thursday in Goldsboro at the historic Paramount Theater in Goldsboro. The documentary is an outstanding documentary. I encourage anyone that's in the area. It has not came out on DVD yet. It's coming. So right now he's going around the state and doing screenings, and the documentary is great. It is really a well-done documentary. It will be back in Goldsboro. Mark this state down for anyone that's in the Wayne County or surrounding areas. It will be back in Goldsboro on March the 29th at 7 p.m. At the Paramount Theater. The film runs from 7 to 9. After the film, they have a short discussion with some of the individuals that's in that was in the documentary. But The Wilmington on Fire is a great documentary documenting a historical event that occurred in Wilmington in 1898. So if you want to learn more, you can certainly do some research. You can certainly check this documentary out. But I highly recommend anyone in the Wayne County, Goldsboro area, try to check that out on March the 29th at 7 p.m. at the Paramount Theater in downtown Goldsboro. I have been busy here lately, trying to get organized on some things as it relates to genealogy. Anyone know me? I don't do genealogy constant. I have periods that I do it, and it's been a pretty active period. Then I put it down for a while, for sometimes several months. I put it down for a while, and then I pick back up. But here lately, I've been documenting and trying to do some more research, trying to break through some brick walls. And what I want to start doing periodically, I think I did a little bit on in the Facebook group, is start documenting individual, one particular individual in the family that I have information on, and what information that I do have and where that information is located. So if anyone is trying to build upon that, or anyone is trying to add to that, or anyone is starting their own family tree, they'll know where that information is at, where they can find those records. As I mentioned in a previous episode concerning this genealogical research, in general, it's not difficult. African-American history does have some nuances that you do have to follow. It has some things that, due to the institution of slavery, get us to a point sometime where brick walls do occur. But with the advent of DNA, genealogy, and with the digitalization of a lot of old records, deeds, court records that was not destroyed, some of those brick walls are coming down. The digital age and the internet also is helping to bring some of those, is helping to tear down some of those brick walls. Some information you may not get, but I am content. I'm determined to continue to work hard to try to trace my lineage. It's something that is a passion of mine. I think it's a longing. It may be in the DNA that after the Civil War, that many of the families that were separated through the institution of slavery, went about trying to reunite. And to this very day, those of us that's passionate and into genealogy see African Americans longing and desiring to find their family history, trying to find who they are, what they are about. And that's one of the things that drives me with doing research, is to try to reunite and try to gather all the information that I can about my family and the individuals that made up our family. One of the individuals that I have done research on and gathered a great deal of primary source documents on is Raleigh Darden. From records that I have, Raleigh Darden was born about 1831. Some documents have his birthday earlier, but sometime around 1831, it's presumed from documentation that Raleigh was born in Sampson County, North Carolina. He died in LaGrange on August 10th, 1923. Raleigh was my third great great grandfather. And Raleigh was one of the first, I guess when I started doing genealogy, was one of the first individuals that I think I located in the United States Census. I actually located Raleigh in the 1880 United States Census. Now, anyone that does genealogy or anyone that's familiar with, in general, history, the Civil War ended in 1865. Prior to 1865, slaves were not listed in the United States Census. Now, free people of color was listed in the census, but not slaves. They was listed as property, then listed in the slave schedule in the census, and they was listed as a number, but their names was not in the United States census at that time of slaves. So most people that start out with genealogy, the first time they actually see an ancestor in a census is with the 1870 census. Now, I'm saying this to say that my research thus far, I have not located a 1870 census with Raleigh Darden in it. And that could be for a number of reasons. He may not have talked to the individual going out taking the census. Somehow he just may have been missed. He may be in an 1870 census. I just haven't ran across it. I have done what I believe to be a fairly exhaustive search looking for her in the 1870 census, but I have not ran across it. Oh, his name may have been totally misspelled. He may have been going by another name, but I haven't ran through any information that I can verify that it is Raleigh or Raleigh Darden in the 1870 census. So that may be a trait that someone out there listening may want to pursue with regards to their research, trying to locate Raleigh Darden in the 1870 census. Now, some of the census records that exist that that Raleigh Darden appears in is the 1880 census. He appears in the 1900 census. He appears in the 1910 census, and he appears in the 1920 census. And of course, he dies in 1923. So subsequent census in the 1930 and 1940 census, he's not in because he's dead. But he appears 1880, 1900. 1910 and 1920. Now, some may be asking, what about the 1890 census? The majority of the 1890 census was destroyed in a fire. I think some few census records, speaking with historians, does exist, but it's very limited. I think maybe some schedules, various schedules, exist from the 1890 census, but the majority, for all practical purposes, of the 1890 census was destroyed in a fire. So, anyone doing research on Raleigh Darden, he's well documented through census records, and he's documented in one particular locale, Mosley Hall Township, which is present-day LaGrange, North Carolina. So somehow he migrated from Sampson County to Mosley Hall. In between Sampson County, I have Raleigh Darden actual appears in the marriage index in Duplin County. That record, the actual index, the actual license does not exist. I contacted the Duplin County Registered Deeds, but it's an index book which lists the marriages, and that does exist, and our Raleigh Darden name is in it. Raleigh was married February 13, 1870 in Duplin County, North Carolina. He was married to Diana Outlaw, and her birthday, for those interested, and it's also on my Ancestry page. My tree on Ancestry is a public tree. I'm not one of the ones that have a private tree. I'm very open with the information, very willing to share information. So my family tree is a public tree, and Diana Outlaw information is in there. But his marriage information, once again, was February 13, 1870, in Duplin County, North Carolina. So he was married some 5 years after the end of the Civil War, to put that in perspective. And so that's from a historical standpoint, and to put in context of what was going on during Raleigh Darden's lifetime. He lived through the ancestor that lived through the Civil War, was probably born into slavery, was born, from the information that I can gather, from secondary sources, was born in Sampson County, North Carolina. Raleigh Darden's death certificate is also present and is on file. His actual death certificate is on file at the Registered Deeds office in Lenoir County. A copy of the death certificate can also be found at the State Archives in Raleigh, and copy of the death certificate is also online at Ancestry and Family Search. So the actual death certificate, you can actually review the death certificate, and the death certificates have some in genealogy is what's known as a lot of good secondary information. And what that means, secondary, when I say secondary or primary, someone else is providing secondary, someone else is providing the information as the biographical information on Raleigh Darden. He's not providing the information himself, of course, because he's dead, but oftentimes a close relative, in some cases it may not be. So death certificates is a great source for secondary information, and his death certificate actually list states that his birthplace is Sampson County. The father name is listed on the death certificate. It's not legible. You can tell it's Sam. I think it's saying Sam McCoy. That's what I assume it is. And the mother birthplace is also listed as Sampson County, and her name is Clara, C-L-A-R-A. So now I have a secondhand, going back to the way I do research and what I'm looking at, I have a secondhand source, meaning someone provided this information, and the person that provided this information is my second great grandfather, Cally Darden. He provided the information on the that appears on the death certificate for his father, Raleigh Darden. The death certificate lists the burial location, LaGrange Cemetery. But going back to his parents and doing genealogical research, let's put this also in perspective. We have Raleigh Darden born in the around 1830. We have an ancestor that's documented that we know was a slave because he don't appear in 1840, 1850, 1860 census as a free person of color. Now, this a sidetrack one bit. When you're doing research, don't necessarily assume that your ancestor was a slave. You also have to, when you're doing exhaustive research, also go on the premise that your ancestor may have been a free person of color. Thus, is listed in earlier, maybe listed in some of the early pre-1870 census. So always look at those census for that person, 1850, 1840, 1860, to see if that person was indeed a free person of color. A substantial amount of Africans were free during that time period. So just don't necessarily assume that that family member was a slave. But going back to the primary and secondary sources, I stated that the death certificate was a secondary source. Well, Raleigh Darden also, as I mentioned earlier, if you recall, has a marriage registry in Duplin County. Now, the marriage registry is information that Raleigh and Diana is providing to the individual themselves to write down on the marriage license. In this case, the registry says the license is lost or destroyed. But it's interesting to note that Raleigh on his marriage license lists his father as Sam Stevens, not Sam McCourt. The Sam name is still the same, but the last name is listed differently in the marriage register. He lists his father as Sam McCourt. He lists his mother as Chloe Darden, not Clara. Now, it could be there's a pronunciation thing or a spelling thing going on with that. He lists his mother as Chloe Darden. And also, I think what's interesting to note is that his mother is the Darden and the father is a Stevens. Okay? So I don't know what's going on with that. That's something that I have been researching. I have an idea, but I'm not ready to go public with that yet. Once I think I exhausted some other sources and can narrow that down, I certainly will let family members know. So once again, I have a secondary source, which is death certificate, which was the first thing I think document that I've obtained that listed a parent of Raleigh Darden. So just for note, now we go back a second generation into slavery. We got Raleigh, and we have his parents' name. So we're going back two generations of our ancestor that was enslaved that we have documents to support. So that's interesting in knowing that, and that is of a significant fight there. And we also have the county list. So now one of the things that I'm doing now and have been doing over the past, I'm looking at deeds, I'm looking at wills, I'm looking at the McCores, and it is a significant amount of McCores in that area, in that region that descends from Sampson County. So I'm thinking, I don't know the variation in name. I don't know if the Sam McCore or the Stevens. I'm more inclined to lean towards Stevens, also Stevens. And it's also Stevens in that area. Chloe, the Darden is an issue that, of course, those of you that have been following know that it's one of those particular brick walls that we are constantly working through and trying to gather more information on. And I will continue to work on gathering more information on the Dardens. And I have an idea, some theories on that also. I've stated some of the theories, and I will state some more at a later date. So just to recap briefly some of the records that we have that exist to give us a great picture of Raleigh Dorton and his whereabouts and his physical location. We have the census records. As I stated, every census record from 1880 to the 1920 census, minus the 1890 census, which was destroyed in fire, lists Raleigh Dorton location as Lake Grange, North Carolina, Mosley Hall Township. His other location appears in 1870 with his marriage index being in Duplin County. So we have a great deal of information that is available documenting our ancestor Raleigh Dorton and his whereabouts. And that's one of the things that we do in research and in trying to document. Now, Raleigh Dorton died in 1923, and another source that we could utilize, if available, is some oral history. If it was someone that was a young child, that's older, that's probably in their 90s now, that was living, and that could recollect and remember Raleigh Dorton in that community, that's a valuable source of information that then can give us other pieces of the puzzle to put together a better visual of what was going on in the community and his whereabouts during that time frame. So I think it's significant. One of the significant things that comes out of the documents that's obtained concerning Raleigh Dorton is that we now have two generations of enslaved ancestors that we can document. Sam Stevens. Let me go back. Sam Stevens may not have been, Sam Stevens could have been a Caucasian. I haven't ruled that out. So let's go back on that. But we do have, we can go back two generations. I know Chloe, for all practical purposes, assumption, was a slave and was born and resided in Sampson County for a period of time. So with that, I hope I've given you a brief insight to how and some of the documents that we go about trying to document and trying to verify and prove through a genealogical standard our information. And some of the sources, some of the other sources that I looked at is looking at are deeds, wills, probate records, bills of sales, with individuals that's in that community to try to locate and try to verify and try to place Raleigh Dorton on a plantation or show ownership, so who owned Raleigh Dorton. The time always flies. The 30 minutes goes by just so fast. I would like to thank everyone for listening. I would like to thank everyone for the support. Hopefully I get a little bit better with doing these, and I hope to share some more information with you in the very near future. Thank you once again, family. Thank you, as always, for your support and listening. Have a great evening.